And for the rest of you, if you would take your Bibles and turn to the book of Colossians with me this morning, the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Our theme in Colossians is transformed by Jesus to live like Jesus. When a person comes to faith in Christ, they are immediately transformed. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. You are no longer in sin when you come to Christ. You are no longer dominated by sin. You are no longer a slave to sin. You are now a child of God. You have been forgiven. You have been made new. You have a home in heaven. But your transformation does not stop with your salvation. In fact, it only begins with your salvation. God has saved you so that you can live a transformed life, so that you can become a new creation. The text goes on to say, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Those things of life that have become new when you were saved are things like the way you think and your attitudes and your aspirations and your desires and the way you treat other people and your relationships. Everything that makes up life becomes new when you become a child of God. The way you live life is to be transformed to be like Jesus. Now in the first message from Colossians chapter 1, in the first 8 verses, the Apostle Paul talked about a transformed life, and he gave us 6 qualities of a transformed life. Let's look at them very quickly. The first quality was a living faith. We are not to have just a saving faith. We are to have a living faith, a faith that informs every aspect of life, every circumstance of life. The second was an unreserved love for the church. A distinguishing mark of a Christian is that they will love other Christians. He doesn't say it's easy to get along with them. Sometimes it's not. But he does say we will love them. We are to love them, in fact, just as Jesus loves them. The third characteristic of a transformed life is an unlimited hope in heaven. That is, we have a hope for this lifetime, but it's not limited to this lifetime. We have a hope for eternity. We are to live as people who have a hope. The fourth quality of a transformed life is a firm trust in the Word of God. The Christian life is built on trust in the Word of God. The Bible is to speak to every area of life. If you're struggling in one area of life, go into your Bible and find out what the Bible has to say about that area of life. The fifth quality is evidence of spiritual fruit. A transformed life is a life that is going to produce spiritual fruit. That is one of the primary evidences that you are a Christian. And finally, Paul talked about a knowledge of God's grace. A person who has been transformed will live in the grace of God. They will understand that everything about life from their salvation to the day they stand before God is because of God's grace and is based upon God's grace. Now, Paul continues talking about a transformed life in verses 9 through verse 14. And so we're calling this message simply, A Transformed Life Part 2. Follow along in your Bible, starting at verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. Paul's now writing to the believers in Corinth, in Colossae. Since the day we heard about what's going on in your life, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Father, speak to us now through these words by Your Spirit, that we might begin to understand what it means to live like Jesus. That we might begin to understand what a transformed life is all about. Transform us, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now back in verse 3, the apostle had given thanks to God for these believers, and he said that he was praying for them. Now here in verse 9, he says, I'll never stop praying for you. I won't cease to pray for you. And he says, for this reason, here's why. The reason that he won't stop praying for you is everything he said back in verses 3 through 8 that we looked at 2 weeks ago. But especially verse 8, where he refers to their love in the Holy Spirit. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. He constantly prayed for these Christians. Now in the following verses, he's going to explain how and why he prayed for them. And so this morning we're going to be looking at Paul's prayer. And the first thing that you see is the content of his prayer. He says, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. When Paul prayed for these Christians, his prayer was very specific. We sometimes pray, Lord, bless the missionaries. Lord, bless my family. Lord, bless my friends. Lord, bless the church. Notice, first of all, Paul's prayer is very specific. He didn't just pray, Lord, bless Simon. Lord, bless Andrew. Lord, bless the believers in Corinth, in Colossae. He prayed, God, fill them with the knowledge of Your will. Help them to see life from Your perspective. J.B. Phillips, who was an old-time English theologian and was one of the first to translate the Bible into, at that time, more contemporary English, translated it this way, we are asking God that You may see things, as it were, from His point of view by being given spiritual insight and understanding. Did you ever think that what God wants is for you and for me to see life from His point of view? God wants us to look at life the way He looks at life. And we get that by being given spiritual insight and understanding. You see, Paul was praying that their lives would be transformed so that they would think and act like Jesus. That's a good prayer for us to pray for anyone. I don't know how you pray for your family. I don't know how you pray for your children or for your spouse, but pray like this. Pray, God, give them the ability to see life the way You see life. Give them spiritual insight. Give them spiritual understanding so that they know how to look at life. One of the things that I think most of us in this day and age have missed as Christians is that our perspective on life has been so influenced by television and by the things we've read and the things we've heard and by what people say who are primarily ungodly people, that's how we look at life. God doesn't want us to look at life that way. God wants us to look at life the way He looks at life. And that's going to take some work on your part. It's not just going to happen. And so if you don't know how to pray for someone, pray this way. Pray that they will be filled with the understanding of God's will. Pray that they will begin to see things from God's perspective. And by the way, where you're doing that, pray that for yourself. Pray that you will understand how God looks at life. Pray that you will see life from God's perspective. Listen, that is the first step in living like Jesus. You are never going to live like Jesus if you don't see life the way Jesus sees life. You can't live like Jesus until you see like Jesus. Now, how do you get that knowledge of His will? How do you get how Jesus looks at life? Well, that's the second part of Paul's statement. The NIV was through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. J.B. Phillips says, by being given spiritual insight and knowledge. Now, those two statements are really saying the same thing. The word that is used here refers to something that comes from the Holy Spirit. And so it is wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, or it is spiritual wisdom and understanding, and that is exactly the same. We can only have what the Holy Spirit gives us. And so we need to pray, Lord, give me that. Give me that spiritual understanding. Lord, give my spouse that spiritual understanding. Lord, give my children that spiritual understanding. The content of Paul's prayer was that they would begin to see life from God's perspective as the Holy Spirit worked in their lives and transformed them. Now, as I told you 2 weeks ago, you can fight against the Holy Spirit. The Bible references the fact that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can fight against the Holy Spirit. You can ignore the Holy Spirit in your life. But if you are spiritually sensitive enough to listen to the Holy Spirit, He will begin to build that spiritual understanding in your life, and you will know how to live. In the rest of this section, beginning with verse 10, the Apostle Paul gives six specific things that he prayed. He wanted these specific things to be part of their lives, and they ought to be part of our lives. Six things that will indicate if you are being transformed. Listen, transformation, or what we call sanctification, doesn't happen overnight. You won't become like Jesus tomorrow morning because you listened to a sermon today. It's a process. But we ought to be on that road. We ought to be on the road of sanctification so that we can see a change in our lives. Years ago, as I was a counselor at a Christian camp in North Carolina, there was a speaker who would come to the camp every summer, and he had been a coach for the Army football team, and he got saved, and his name was Rock Royer, and he had a habit of going to the counselors. We were supposed to be the godly people, setting the example for all the campers, and he would ask oftentimes, are you closer to Jesus today than you were yesterday? Boy, that'll put you on the spot. If I was to stand in the back and greet you after the service, as is our tradition, and I shook your hand, and when I had a hold of your hand real tight so you couldn't let go, and I said, are you closer to Jesus today than you were yesterday? Most of you would go out the back door. That's an embarrassing question. And you could ask me that question. A transformed life takes place step by step, day by day. And so Paul gives these six things that we can look at to see if there's any indication that our lives are on that road of transformation, if our lives are being changed. And so we're going to look now at the desire of Paul's life. That I changed the wording here, put desire there instead of intent. I didn't like that word, so I changed it at the last minute and didn't get it on my slide. The desire of Paul's prayer in verses 10 through 12, and he's going to list six things. Here's what he desired for these Christians, and here's what God desires for us. First, that they would live worthy of Jesus. Verse 10, so that you may walk worthy. He wants them to have that knowledge, that spiritual understanding. He wants them to have a perspective of life from God's perspective, so that you may walk worthy of Him. Some translations say, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord. There are three times in the New Testament that the Apostle Paul exhorts us to walk worthy. In Ephesians 4:1, walk worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Your calling is to be a Christian. Your calling is to be like Christ. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, walk worthy of God. We're to walk in a way that reflects well on God. Here in Colossians 1, walk worthy of the Lord. And so we as Christians are to walk worthy of God. We're to walk worthy of Jesus. We're to walk worthy of our salvation. The idea is that as a Christian, we are to live in a way that is consistent with Jesus. You see, you know that your life is being transformed when you are living a life that is worthy, that is credible, that is consistent with God and with Jesus and with your salvation. Now, Paul builds on that statement with his second statement. He says that they would be pleasing to God or pleasing to Jesus. He says in verse 10, pleasing Him, fully pleasing Him, or pleasing Him in every way, some translations have. That fully can go either at the beginning, fully please Him, your life is completely pleasing Him, or it can go at the end, pleasing Him fully or pleasing Him in every way. And it depends on the translator. There's nothing in the passage that tells you it has to go one or the other. Pleasing Him in every way. Some Christians think that they are living the way Jesus lived, when they are pleasing to Him most of the time. Paul makes it clear that our goal is not to be pleasing to Jesus most of the time, but to be pleasing to Jesus all of the time. Now, that's where the Christian life becomes difficult. God doesn't want us to please Him most of the time. His goal is that you and I will please Him all of the time, in every aspect of life, in every thought, in every action. And that's hard to do. And that's why we need to have lives that are totally surrendered to God. We need to have lives that where we've said, God, this is your life. You do this is with it what you want. This is not my life. I'm not putting restrictions on my life. You take it and you do whatever you want with my life. It's yours, not mine. You see, the Bible says we've been bought with a price. That has the language of slavery in it, doesn't it? A slave, whether it was in the old south of our country or slavery throughout many, many nations throughout all of time, slaves don't own themselves. Someone else owns them. They have to do what they're told. You and I spiritually have been bought with a price. Therefore, the text says that we are to glorify God in our bodies and in our spirits, which are His. We are Christians all of the time. We need to live like Christians all of the time. You see, there are no holidays on being pleasing to God. Thirdly,